Welcome to Identity Church Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
I truly have contemplated not preaching since a lot of what needed to be said has already been prophetically said. I know some of you guys, let's go home. And there is a time and a place to do that. But I just want to brag on the house. It still amazes me that I can work on something for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks and have God speak to me about what needs to be put into the house and get here on a Sunday morning, and it's pieces and parts of it is in the prayer chamber. Pieces and parts. I mean, people come in, well, during worship, God said that. I'm like, all right. You know, I'm not releasing people to speak corporately because you need to hear it from different people, but sometimes you need to hear it from different people. The voice has a voice, and it's not always me. And it's very encouraging to see from the multiple vessels that God is saying the same thing. And many times it's somebody else's version of understanding of the same thing is what hooks you. You know, so, you know, and I think that's what Ron's like, gives some more Baptist fellowship time before you speak. You know, sometimes it's the body healing the body, and sometimes it's a hug. Just want you to welcome Donna, the Yankee, that has come home. So, Yankee, go home, but just leave Florida green. Yeah, that we used to say that in business. Leave Florida green. Today's message, the title of today's message is Living from Abundance. And I just want to publicly share with you that I struggle with this message. I've been preaching on prosperity. I've been preaching on the root of my, you know, is God my source or my resource? You know, when God is my source, everything else is a resource. And I mean, and I've preached with great conviction because I believe I'm walking in it. I haven't just studied this to preach a message. I've been studying this for almost 3 years. It's taken me 3 years to basically get out of what Debbie said publicly, to get out of my viewpoints that I've been filling my life with, and to get in a clear picture. So this is one of the most important things that I think God is doing here at Identity Church. Because he's taken the things and he's going to give us things for us to be a good steward of. Ron mentioned that we're going to have a gathering in August. Let me tell you, I did some preliminary budgets for that. I'm going to tell you what the preliminary budget is. Holy moly!
And you got on me for my comment.
And I spanked Rodney first.
Yeah, it's like.
Because we want to be family here. We can go ahead and pull this out in the middle here if you want. Yeah, we can take the diapers off if you want. Well, I mean, since we're family, let's get real. His first thing was, oh my God, we can't afford it. The first thing Susie says, oh my God, we can't afford it. First thing I told God is, oh my God, we can't afford it.
Thank you.
So we all were in agreement. But if they said it, I kept it in my heart. Yeah. So put that scripture up, Karen, since you quoted it. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh. Make that go to ESV version. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And the problem is we have stinking thinking. That's what was spoken to. We have stinking thinking. The reason that I'm struggling with this message today, I can tell you I've overcome some things, that I'm walking in some prosperity, but I still have some thinking. Stinking.
It works both ways.
But what I'm saying is, when God says, hey, do this, you're looking at what you have today instead of what he's trying to give you in the future. We got 8 months to prepare for this. But let me tell you what's going to happen in the 8 months. Now, you know, I messed up my message already. It was good, so we'll just throw that in the trash. Here's what's going to happen. We won't be the same body in 8 months. Because if you start having the gathering come here, listen, what's sitting here, everybody, it's all hands on deck and nobody will be in the pews. Great. It means somebody else is going to be. You're going to have a hospitality team. You're going to have a transportation team. You're going to have a prophetic team. You're going to have a healing team.
Oh, I will. Yeah. Right.
We're not ready for this, but we will be. The Lord said to me, says, if you'll quit worrying about the money, I'll bring the resources. He didn't say I'll bring the money. You quit worrying about the money, I'll bring the resources. Why? You're the resources. Here's the bottom line. Dang, see, money just shows up.
That's
from my pocket. As a man thinketh, he's doing it to me. Listen. Here's the bottom line. How many of you have heard the stories of me and Ron going to Louisiana, me going to Pennsylvania, me going to New York, hanging out with all the guys in the ministry, and I'm rubbing up against the big shots, and your heart goes, I want to be around them. Good, you'll have an opportunity because some of you will be driving them back and forth. Some of you will pick them up from the airport. Some of them you'll have to feed them. You might have to house a couple of them. I mean, they ain't staying in my house. Well, there's one couple, mate. Yeah, there's one couple we'll let. The rest of them, like, they ain't staying in my house. No, but what I'm saying is this is where this body rubs up against the giants that we're connected with. You know, Ron and I saw something in Louisiana we can't get out of our hearts and our spirits. But let me tell you something. It was an effort, a team effort to get there. It was a team effort to come into agreement of what God was doing. But there's still people that drove us around, that fed us, that got around us, that we have relationship with because of that. And so what I want to do, do I want to win the city? Yeah, but I want to win you first. What am I going to do do you think I'm the only one that's supposed to prophesy around here? Why do you think we have a prophetic school coming? And I'm going to tell you, are we still doing family? Here, let me go ahead and let me tell you. You're not going to be on a prophetic team unless you go to the school. You're not going to be on a healing team unless you go to the healing school. And don't go to Ron and veto me. Because he will take a bribe. So, I don't want to do just a conference. I want to do family. That's why Brian and Janice Higby are coming. They're brothers. I mean, when I'm down and out, that's who I call, or who calls me. These people are prophetic. You don't get away with nothing. Then you got Ron, who's sucking up and becoming their best friend and thinks that. Ron calls Brian the other day and gives him a prophecy, and I'm like, that's nice. Brian calls me, wants to make sure I'm living right. I'm like, what the heck happened here? Why did he call? Because I told him a month ago that I'm going after some demonic things in my city. I'm going after some demonic principalities in our nation. And you better guard yourself. And Susie had a dream. Somebody else had a dream. And there were warning dreams. And so I got to people of that caliber. I says, cover me. And he was calling to make sure I'm okay. Make sure that I'm living right. That I'm not doing things I shouldn't do. See, everybody wants accountability until they call you. See, I ask these ding-dongs. I know they're calling. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The problem is, if you don't like where your life is at now, it's because you've been thinking wrong. Listen, I'm just going to cut to the chase here. If you want to get on our YouTube channel, there's a playlist called Heavenly Currency. It's what I've been preaching for the last 8 or 10 weeks. Kevin's going to move that one message I did on the spirit of poverty. That's a four-part series I did 2 years ago. I did it with the information, but I've been dealing with it for 2 years. And I've whipped it and gotten rid of it in some areas. But in this area here of living in abundance, living from abundance, I'm struggling with. Because why? Because my thinking, my whole life, I've had to wrestle the spirit of poverty. And now that I've dealt with the spirit of poverty in certain areas, I realize I have not dealt with it in every area. My friend Jim Baker, not married to Tammy, married to Mary. A lot of this information came from Jim. A lot of the teachings came from Jim. Here's how I met Jim and Mary. I was preaching a conference in Elmira, and I was asked to put a thing on Facebook about the conference. And so I said, oh yeah, Papa Jack will be there. Bill Vandevish will be there. And I'm on a video doing, and Charlie Coker, you know, the famous one, and being a smart aleck. And I said, some guy named Jim Baker, I hope he's not married to Tammy. And I put this out on Facebook. I didn't know who Jim and Mary Baker were. I didn't know them from Adam's House Cat. And as soon as I did the video, the Holy Spirit says, hey, I have a word for them. And I go into a vision. Don't know where they're from. Don't know them from nothing. And I go into this whole, about a six-page vision of their city and their calling and what God's doing with them. And the Lord says, when you go to the conference, I want you to prophesy that to them when it's your turn to speak. So it was my turn to speak, and they had a traveling incident, and they weren't there. So I said to God, oh, you know everything. What are you going to do about this? Because I'll preach another message. He goes, oh, no, you're going to prophesy him to. And in the conference, they always put the speakers, they have assigned chairs, and there's their two names in a chair. So I grabbed two chairs and put their names in it and prophesied to them. So Bill Vanderbush is sending a text. Yeah, this prophet is prophesying to you and Mary. And he goes, yes, tell him to call out Mary's sin. You know, thinking it's funny. And then he'd send him a video if I'm actually prophesying to him. And that's how we connected. And this guy has figured out the financial issues that we've been preaching, he dealt with. Financial prosperity is the very bottom rung. Before prophecy, before healing, before the other gifts. Because if you're not be faithful with the least, which your money is the least, he won't trust you with the most or the best or his real power and his glory. So what I've been preaching the last 10 weeks is to get your heart in a position to change your thinking. And if you're not going to be faithful with your day-to-day financial position, then you really aren't trusting God. In other words, if your wallet's not saved, you think wrong. That was good. Glad I'm not taking an offering. Because then you'll be like, he's manipulating me. If you do Kindle or you do Amazon, there's a book called Wealth, Riches, and Money by Craig Hill and Earl Pitts. There's another book called Money and the Prosperous Soul. Here's what James Allen said at the turn of the century. He wrote a book. He's a British author. As a Man Thinketh is the name of the book. Here's what he says. You are today where your thoughts have brought you. You will be tomorrow where your thoughts take you. And he says, man thinketh in his heart So is he. Did you notice he said, it didn't say as a man thinketh in his mind. As a man thinketh in his heart. What are you telling me, Charlie? I'm telling you, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So the very core of how you think will come out of your mouth. Susie's mentoring this young girl who drives me crazy. And she's at our house and she won't leave yesterday. And she asked a question about her windshield's cracked on her car. And in the state of Florida, you can get a new windshield. So what does it cost? Nothing. You call an insurance company. They do this to that. Do you know what the next thing out of her mouth was? You only get one a year. What if I need it again? Uh-huh. I'm like, I'm going to slap you. And then another thing she said, well, you know, she drives one of the little hybrid 60 miles to, I don't know, a charge or something. I don't know. And she starts complaining about this car because the replacement battery is a couple $1,000s, but she ain't buying no gas. Put some money aside. But she's negative and she's thinking and I'm thinking, as a man thinketh in heart, she's an idiot. Oh, I'm not allowed to use that word. Susie gets mad when I use that word. She's not smart. Do I? She's underdeveloped. It does. I'm sorry. Yeah. Well, see, here's the thing. We're starting a prophetic school, and the bottom line is, if the real anointing and the real maturity of God comes on your life and you get everything you said, you'll hope you'd speak positive. If God is anointing your words, are you speaking life or death? If God is anointing your words, are you bringing favor to you, or you've already canceled the favor of God? I mean, bottom line is, if God really empowers your words, you're going to eat the fruit of your own words. Quit complaining. Oh, no, I didn't mean quit complaining, because you're going to complain anyway. That's why you're not getting anything. The bottom line is, you don't think he's a good God. You think he's a mean ogre. We call, let's get hungry for God. That's not hunger, that's desperation. God the Father does not need me to be desperate for him to feed me. It'd be like me going to God. You know, I went to the doctor and I'm going to die if you don't feed me. And God the Father goes, man, I've been waiting for you to get desperate enough to really need me. Yeah. What kind of father's that? That's desperation. That's not hunger. Hunger is, oh, there's some food in the refrigerator. I'm going to get my lazy butt up and go get it. That's hunger. And we call desperation, where he shows up as a miracle, we call it the sovereignty of God. God's sovereign. No. No, no, you're blaming sovereignty because you have stinking thinking. You call it sovereignty because he shows up in a miracle when he actually wants you to be the miracle. Let's do John 10:10. Let's actually make this a biblical teaching. The thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy, but I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. Have it abundantly. What is the word life? Zoe. That's a Greek word for Zoe. Man, I'm just going to skip through all this. See? The abundant life that he came to give. We're going to feel the force of this verse when we understand that the word life, what it means. The original New Testament was Greek, and the Greek word for life is Zoe. Here's how the Greek word defines it. Life as God himself has it, and which he gave to his incarnate son to have in himself. It is the life of God, not in the sense of activities, but more into the quality of life. Is it Christ in you? Yes. The hope of glory? Yes. All right, so that's the life he's talking about. The problem is we've been trying to pull on our natural life, our natural abilities, instead of the Zoe part of God. God lives in you. I came to give you life and give you life more abundantly. Therefore, the Holy Spirit lives where? So when you need something, where do you go for the abundance of God? Depends on how you see. Do you see yourself as a supernatural Christian? Because Christianity is supernatural. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Christ in me. Because he came and lives his life inside of me. The whole Christian life is Christ in me. It's not Christ instead of me. You keep giving God, you keep asking Jesus to go do what he's called you to do. But the problem is you won't pull on him on the inside and actually get involved with let him do it through you. We sit on the sidelines and say, you know, God's sovereign. If he really wanted them saved, he'd do it. No, he wants to empower you to go evangelize. He wants to empower you to go feed the hungry. Not just the natural food, but the food of the word. Christ, the life, the Christian life is Christ in me, not Christ instead of me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. We're not living out of our own resources. A lot of people think that Christian life is that you get more and more mature and you need less and less of God because your character is just getting into formed. Tell me, listen, this is not any, this is God, the problem, I've been doing this long enough. I think the bragging's over with. Now I'm getting slapped like the rest of you. Who did I slap in the last 10 weeks? I enjoyed slapping you because I had already come into an establishment. Now I'm getting my brains beat out. Why? Because I don't know how to live out of the prosperity of God, out of the abundance life of God. I'm learning. Where's Stephanie? If you tell her this, I'll beat you. One of the attributes of a Tasmanian devil is he lives out of his own resources and creates havoc around him. People I work with have called me one of those lately. So I looked it up just to be, you know, shoot back. I went, dang, it is me. God's funny. Why did I ever say that to them? Listen, you don't get more and more character like Christ and then need less of him. I mean, am I the only one that thought, well, you know, eventually I'm going to be so mature, I won't have to worry about this porn or this that or this that. Eventually I'll be just like Jesus and I won't need him that much. Because I'll be like him, I won't need him. Listen, you will not be like him unless you understand who's living in you. The problem is God gave us the comforter. You know why? Because if you follow Christ, you'll need some comforting. Because he's going to put you in positions. He's going to put you in positions to have to pull on the Zoe part of God. He's going to put you in a position where someone's going to need healing and you are empty. Your reserve is gone. There's nothing in the basement. And where are you going to pull it from? From within. You never are in lack with God. If you read scripture, there's not one place. I've heard it preached. Well, you know, it wasn't really God's will to heal that person. I've never seen that. When people came to Jesus Christ, they all got healed. When people need deliverance, they all got delivered. There was nothing about lack in Jesus. So then why is there lack in us? Because we don't think that way. We don't realize it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. Glad I could help you. Listen, you don't get more mature and more mature. You start burning through grace like you're a sloppy man. You just keep using more grace, using more grace, using more grace. And that molds you into God's image. You know, the Apostle Paul, here's the Apostle Paul. He started off, and if you look at scripture, he's like, well, I was a Jew born on the eighth day, circumcised on the eighth day. I was a this, a that, and the other. And then a few years later, he's like, yeah, I'm struggling. You get the end of his life. I'm the chief of all sinners. You don't quit needing grace. Yeah. You got to apply grace, but then you realize who lives in you, and then the miracles happen for others instead of you needing miracles.
Come on.
What does that mean? It means you become the miracle. I don't need any food, but now I'm at this big party, and there's a bunch of people that need fed. Jesus did not take the little boy's 5 loaves and fishes and say, let me eat this for myself and can show you a lesson on lack. And all of them sitting there hungry. I'm going to teach you about lack, but I'm going to eat these kids' food. No, he took it. He blessed it. He broke it. Here's the bottom line. And the last person that was hungry did not take the last morsel. And everybody went, whoa, that was just enough. How many baskets? 12 is the number of what?
Government.
So until you actually make this a staple of your thinking, you will think that prosperity is demonic. More than enough. I come to give you life more abundantly. Abundantly. Abundantly, not just getting by. What does it look like in your life? This week, Susie and I were doing some paperwork, and God's dealing with me on how I think. God's telling me that you don't understand how to live in abundance. And listen, I've been preaching this. I've been preaching about living under budget, about knowing where your money is, about investing properly, having a reserve. That's not demonic. And I'm going to tell you something. There's been too much preaching that you can't outgive God, and you give the very foundation of your life away, put God's name on it, and your kids don't want to be Christians because you've given everything away. But there's a balance in this. And I've been the one who's been willing to pay the price and put God's name on it and put my whole family into financial jeopardy with God's name on it. And this week he's been dealing with me because of my stinking thinking that I battle a spirit of poverty, and that he's trying to change my thinking. And Susie and I have butted heads for years in the financial department. And as soon as I said this big conference, she said the same thing Rodney said. I just didn't say anything. When God said it to me, I'm like, uh-huh. Susie's like, are you kidding me? Rodney's like, are you kidding me? I'm like, well, we have the agreement of two people. That's great.
No, we did not talk.
No, they just, the reality of it. The reality of where we go, the reality of do you believe he's a good father?
Yes.
Yeah. So we're talking finances. Susie and I are talking finances. You know, what do you want to do here? What do you want to do here? And I said, well, I think we should do this. Well, Susie had a whole different number and a whole different plan that I didn't even consider. I've been afraid of large amounts of monies because when I had a large amount of money, I backslid, sinned, and I became the greatest heathen known to man. So I've had a fear of real money coming back. Well, money's influence. Well, I figured it out. Susie's not afraid of it. Susie's like, try me. I wish the devil gave me some money to see if I'd backslide. Watch this. Big truck pulls up in front of my house, starts delivering furniture yesterday. I'm in the front yard talking to my friend, and this guy goes, he's talking about me and this guy. I go to his side of the house. Says, who's that forwarding? I said, Susie Coker. He goes, yeah. I'm like, furniture, my house. I said, that's nice. I walk in and she's telling the guy, because the guy says, I just met your husband out in the street there. She says, yeah, I bought this with my half of his money. Successful. So when she wants to feel good, she wants me to feel good, she buys something and goes, oh, I bought that with your half of your money. What you don't know is I had to submit to Susie in the area of finances because I would give everything away. Doesn't mean I didn't hear God. I didn't take the principles of God and become a good steward. She's a much better steward than I am. And in that, spiritually, I would accuse her. I would, as a man thinketh in his heart, I would accuse her of not being generous and stingy. No, she's a better steward because in this situation, she gave more than I thought we should. She gave it to people I didn't even consider. And I'm like, oh my God, I feel convicted. He goes, you should. You think she can't hear me. And she knows how to live under abundance more than you do. It's time that we in the body of Christ learn how to function under abundance. Instead of bragging about a miracle God did because we were in so much lack that it showed up in a miracle that we put his name on it. Come on. There was no lack in Jesus. When I'm finding these areas of lack in my life, I'm not living out of Zoe. Oh, see, you think I'm talking about money. No, I'm talking about your peace. I'm talking about your joy. I'm talking about your health. Here, you want to get in my head for a minute? You want to get in my head? You know what bugs the living daylights out of me? She's got this app on her phone that every time I swipe the credit card, it tells her what I'm doing. I wanted to cheat on food the other day, and I paid cash so she wouldn't know about it. Well, you need to repent. But it bugged me because she spent some money that I didn't know about. I want the app. What am I saying? I'm saying, listen, my mom, in 1997, she had a stroke before she died. And she didn't speak for 3 weeks. And so my sister took my car, my Lincoln, we met in Vero. And so she hadn't spoken a word in 3 weeks. And my two sisters, I think, were you there, Pammy? Were you with Margaret? Mom called. No, I'm talking about in the car. No. Okay, so it was my other sisters in the car. And Mom hadn't spoken in 3 weeks. I'm standing on the corner. She hasn't said a word in 3 weeks. She looks at me on the corner, looks at my sister, and says, oh my God, he's going to be a fat preacher. Tell him no one listens to fat preachers. And she dies the next day. So I'm in my head. I'm out of the message. I'm in my head. I got some stuff I'll probably look at. But listen, so here I'm paying cash so I don't have to listen to her wrath. But that was a great hamburger. You can't imagine how good it was. And there's something about cheating that just makes it better. Listen, so God's messing with me. God's messing with me. He says, listen to me. He says, the problem is you won't submit to her accountability. Did you submit to her accountability in finances and look where you're at? And when it's time to give, you thought of a less number than she did. You didn't think of the people that I spoke to her about. He said, but you won't submit to the area of discipline and eating. He says, you've been preaching that financial responsibility is the bottom rung. He says, if you'll get your finances in order and you'll get your thinking, maybe I could deal with your weight. But I can't deal with your weight if you're going to hide it and cheat. Oh, I'm giving her ammunition. I'll never live to see another day. Oh, I know. As a man thinketh. I don't know. I have just butchered this message up, but let me say it this way. You're going to need more grace tomorrow than you got today. Here's the problem. We think because we don't go in sin that we're made that it's proof that we're made in God's image. Because you've become a little Christ-like. You think you're okay because you're comparing yourself to everybody. You really aren't comparing yourself to Jesus. You're not comparing to you, the one that lives on the inside of you. You're not pulling out of the Zoe life. I'm not near as heavy as Rodney is. So I'm okay.
He told me this week he likes to be around me because I make him feel good. I'm Brad Louie. I'm okay.
So when I'm around them, I feel skinny.
Gary, now we know why Gary, nobody wants to be around
him. Yeah, we don't even like Gary. Little skinny runt.
Like, you know, like a little guy.
But here's the bottom line. If we're going to be in unity, be in family, maybe I need to submit to Mike Shannon. Somewhere along the line, his thought and his eating patterns have been under check, and he's not obese like I am. We need each other, but we don't want anybody to hold us accountable. Especially in finances. And then you add food. Did you add relationships? Did you add all the other things? But listen, God wants us to live life more abundantly. Life. He doesn't want you to live financially abundant only. That's just a small piece of the puzzle. He wants you to live healthy. He wants to live you with mental health, physical health. He wants you to live prosperous in your relationships. You know, it's time to figure out why. It's really funny. I mean, you know, God, here's my head. I buy this nice Sony TV, then I buy these other TVs, and they won't talk to each other. So now I got to have Hulu and YouTube TV, and I have all these other things. I just spent twice. I could have kept the cable. But what I'm saying to you is that we're supposed to be one and supposed to communicate with each other and need each other. Because what you have, I need. What I have, you need. This is not one man sitting up here going, I'm all that in a bag of chips. No fat chips. No bacon bits. But what I'm saying is as the body comes into connection with each other, we start pulling off of each other. Certain people I go to dinner with, I eat differently. You go with Ron, you can be a pig. And you let Ron order? I want two of those and three of those and two of those. And like, holy moly. It was great. It was good. It was a boys' night out. But guess who's acting king? Where you been? I thought you were going to Vero and you didn't have time to have a dinner with me. No, but it. It was really good food, though.
I remember when you didn't even have a card. Now you got a card with an app. So.
I come to give you life, Zoe. Give you life more abundantly. So what's lacking? If you have lack in your life, you need to figure out why. Because everything you need is in you. The problem is you're not pulling on what's in you to cover the lack. I'm going to quote some scriptures. John chapter 1, verse 4, in him was life. All these verses, when I say life, it's Zoe, this kind of life. John 1, 4, in him was life, and life was the light of humanity. I preach that. Acts 3, 15, Jesus was called the Prince of Life. John 14, 6, I am the life. John 6, 35, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst. There's something about this life that when it gets in you, it satisfies every earthly craving in you. So why am I craving other things? Because I feel like there's a place of lack, and it's someplace I haven't surrendered. Well, if I just had a man, I'd quit eating these bowls of... John 8, 12, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but he shall have the light of life. Back in Genesis, it was not clear whether God came down and breathed into man or he brought man up to him. But when he breathed life. He breathed life. Tell him I'm busy. The very life of God was the life source that he gave man, his beginning, and made him in his image and likeness. Here is the point. Abundant life that Jesus came to offer is the life of Jesus himself. Catch this. The way that Jesus lived life, he said, I have come so that you can have life the same way that I'm giving life to you. This abundant life, this God kind of life. Here's the picture, living an abundant life. It means that you're able to access the reality of God's world in any situation that you are going into. Where's the kingdom? Then everything you need is in you in Christ. What do you mean? Hey, you get the pink slip. He's a good daddy. He's going to figure it out. Now, you may find out you've been putting your trust in other things. He may let you squirm for a while. Jim Baker tells a story that when he was a kid, one of his friends, his father owned a toy store. And his father said to his friend with Jim, he goes, come on, let's go down to the toy store, and you can have anything you want. So Jim's like, he's with us, and he says, he comes out of this store that this kid's father owned, and the kid had like skaboodles of presents. Jim had three packs of gum. He says, later on in life, I realized I had a poverty spirit. And the bottom line was, when your father owns the store, it's all yours. The problem is some of you are happy with three packs of gum. The reason God liked abundance is because it's the opposite of lack. Lack is not enough. Jesus didn't walk into situations like, oh man, look at this line of sick people. Gee, I don't know if the Father wants to heal. He just walked, high-fived them and gave them everything they wanted. It isn't like the master level Christianity. This isn't like that you have everything you need and you're getting a black belt and somebody else is getting the green belt. Listen, Christianity is a supernatural lifestyle. You never You never should be in lack if you're walking as a supernatural Christian. If what you're losing or what he's stripping away destroys your ability to walk in joy, then you had a love of it. Bill Johnson said it this way: Jesus wrecked every funeral that he went to, including his own. Jesus went to a wedding with his mother and his disciples, and they ran out of wine. I just want to let you know, they had plenty of wine until him and his disciples showed up. Somebody's drinking some wine. But there became a lack that would have brought shame on the host. And so mama said to Jesus, do something. Do something. Why? There's lack. I know who you are. There's lack. Do it. And he's like, woman. Yes, ma'am. Stop my time. It is now. Mom spoke. You know, God will let you use the it's not time excuse until you're tired of using it. That's a good word right there. Until you get tired of being sick and tired, he'll let you use it. And you can sit in your little lackey Christian life and miss the life of Zoe. That is a good word. Someone write that down. I've never thought about that way. But listen, sometimes the nurturing part of Mary that said they're going to be in shame because they have this may need to come to the surface and go, hey, there shouldn't be lack in this wedding. So Jesus, the one living in you, do something. Maybe you need to speak to the wine, water turned into wine. Maybe you need to speak to the pot that's going down. Maybe you need to speak to the water and tell it to be calm. Does the one who you read about live in you or not?
Yes.
Prove it. Prove it. Told you I was preaching to me first. Listen, 120 to 130 gallons of wine is almost scandalous, and it was the best wine. Jesus was confident and secure. Nowhere in Scripture does it say, and Jesus worried. Nowhere in Scripture did they stump Jesus with his questions. He always had the answer. Or he asked a question that they couldn't answer. Keep throwing money. My lack is getting better. Every problem we face, Jesus dealt with. He did it by pulling on the realm of abundance. I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Here's one. I have come that you may have the same abundant life that I walked in, the same strength drawn from heaven that was there for me is now there for you for any situation. You can access every issue of life that you have issues with and pull it out of you because I'm in you. I am in you. Romans 8:32, he who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? He's a good daddy. The problem is we don't think so. Here, I have an angel called Big Louie. He carries a Louisville Slugger. In the few times that God has sent me into a region or sent me into a church that I knew I had to, as a prophet, function governmentally, it scares me when I get the information and I question everything that he's told me. But the fear and the anxiety and my inability goes away when I see Big Louie. When I see this big old angel with his baseball bat and he shows up and he's just come like, you ready to rock and roll? There's not a demon that he doesn't deal with. which who's with me? Big Louie's with me. God has sent him. There's a confidence when I see the angelic realm that is assigned to me to do the assignment. I am petrified until I see him. And this week the Lord said, how come you get excited about Big Louie, but you don't get excited about me? I went to Pennsylvania, and I had disconnected at that level of ministry for several years. And I go into a vision, and Big Louie's sitting on a mountain with his baseball bat, and he's pulling out of a bag these little spikes, and he's screwing it into his bat. In this vision, I went, "Oh, Louie, how you doing?" He goes, "Good." I said, "Haven't seen you." And he goes, "Been waiting on you. You ain't been waiting on me." I'm like, "Okay, touche. I hadn't engaged." And I said to him, I said, "Looks like we're going to have fun." He goes, "Oh, we're going to have a lot of fun." I said, "Big D coming?" He's, "Yep, Big, he's on his way." And we have this whole conversation about what we're sent to do that weekend. And I said, "Do you know what my assignment is?" "No, you'll get it on the way there." But where did the confidence come from? You know, I'm in Chick-fil-A, and I have this encounter. Prior to this, I was worried about what was on my sandwich. Because they didn't put the pepper jack cheese. I wasn't happy until I saw Big Louie. I could care less about the sandwich when you start seeing Big Louie. Why? Because I understand that God equipped me in that area. But when I saw who was with me, the confidence came for the assignment. The problem is, Jesus said, he said, how come that makes you more confident when you don't know what, am I in you? By the way, I don't know if you know it, Chucky. I outrank Big Louie. Jesus Christ outranks Big Louie. So I said, "God, this way." I said, "So God, why do I do that?" And he says, "Oh, that poverty thing you think about it, because you don't think you're worthy for me to carry me. You're worthy enough because you're willing to lay your life down that I would send an angel to help you do warfare. But you don't really understand sonship. You don't understand what you're carrying. In other words, you have poverty mentality. I'm happy with 3 packs of gum. I'm happy with Big Louie, Big D, and Celeste, some angels that I know about. And I'm walking around not recognizing who lives in me." That was good, wasn't it? Abundant prosperity thinking or poverty or lack thinking. So I'm going to just give you some. Abundant thinking is full of peace, relaxation, trust, joy, and sense of dominion. Poverty thinking is you feel desperation. Abundant thinking is hunger for more of him and what he has paid for. When you are desperate for things you already have, you become double-minded. Preach. And you have actually embraced the spirit of unbelief. Some people think they're just about to die and God swoops down in desperation. What's the difference between desperation and hunger? Hungry people get up and go to the refrigerator. Hungry people pull what's here. The problem is it's false identity. It's bad identity. A prosperous, now here's, I'm gonna mess with some of your religious spirits here. Do I have permission? Yes. I don't care. A prosperous person grows through trials and valleys, but learns to see them from the mountaintop as well. Some of this message is nothing but confession. You know, you really don't grow on the mountaintop, you grow in the valley. Anybody heard that? Really? We sing songs about in the valley of death. I'm going to learn how to be like Christ. Really? What we're telling God is we only learn in the valley. We only do now, hear me. Trials and struggles do teach us. It's the gymnasium exercise to grow strong. I'm not again. But if you think that's the only way God's going to train you, then you're crazy. He could train me on the mountaintop as he can in the valley, and I'm learning. I want to be on the mountain, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Teach me on the mountain. But here's the problem. I've had enough. Here's where I got in trouble this week. I've had enough mountaintop experiences. There's no excuse for valley thinking. I've had enough mountaintop experiences where I should have been trained to stay on the stinking mountain. Instead of having this, the other shoe's going to drop, and that great job I just got, that big bonus I just got, it's not going to be sustainable. Because, you know, something's going to happen because God's going to have to teach me humility. No, he doesn't. I have a wife. She can teach you humility in a New York minute. You don't have to lose everything to learn something. Am I the only one? We sing songs about depression. And God's going to come through. No, God's already through. Am I the only one? So what are you telling me, Lord? Listen, I have in the last few weeks been preaching some stuff. I sat down with Diana and told and shared some encounters and things with her that are personal, that are spiritual, that I wouldn't share with a lot of people and haven't for years. And got convicted within just a few days that you're not willing to share an experience. Well, Lord, I have to make sure it's biblical. Oh, no, you've only been eaten from the experience, and you never took the time to find it in Scripture. See, we want to say that the Trinity is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Bible, and we put more emphasis on the Bible than the Holy Spirit himself. Now, I believe in the Bible. It should line up. But why do we always have to read it first and then ask for the experience? Because you're reading it through a religious lens most of the time. So you need an encounter that breaks all your religiousness, and then he shows you in Scripture. See, I believe women can be apostles. Now, you say that easy. They will lynch you in some churches for that. They will absolutely murder you. And I had been taught that, I thought that, and I preached that. Okay? I could show you in Scripture today that is not good theology, that women can be apostles as well as a man. Women can be prophets as well as a man. Women can be evangelists, pastors, and teachers as well as a man. And I believe a woman can be a senior leader. Ah! The religious will kill you over that. And listen, I traveled and taught that. And then I'm preaching one time, and this woman walks in the back. She's an older woman, walks in, and God opens my spiritual eyes, and I see her with man parts. And I'm thinking, oh, God, there's a transvestite here. Now, what am I going to do now? I'm going to make a public display and cast that devil out of this woman. And the Lord says, whoa, 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 whoa. I'm showing you spiritually that she's a father of the faith. No, she's not. She's a woman. She's got breasts. Actually, she has both sets. You want to get out of my head?
Close the door.
Would you please? You're going, pull the blinds, pull the blinds, pull the blinds.
For the Gordon families, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But please come back next Sunday.
All right, listen. All right. I said that I wasn't just talking to make you all mad. Here's the problem is I have this prophetic encounter with Jesus, and it's all public, and God says, prophesy to her, and I prophesy to her. Her name is Sherry Ann Wood. She winds up being a spiritual son of mine and trusts me with her life, but I had to break my thinking. that said women can't be, and I prophesy, you're an apostle, and God's going to do it. I'm thinking, I don't believe nothing I just said. I teach against this stuff. So then what am I going to do? Tell God he lied to me? I was so mad at God because he went against my teaching. Because women need to be under my thumb. Women can't have a place because, you know, Eve, she sinned. You know, Eve has to submit to man because Eve was the bad one. Am I the only one been taught that? See, here's the problem. Here's what God broke all my theology. I prophesied this lady is an apostle. She's a father in the faith. And everything I said to her resonated. Do you believe that God's trying to take us back to the garden? It's a problem. You only think God wants to take you back to the garden where there was Adam and Eve instead of just Adam before Eve and one. Listen to me. If you want to go to the garden with Adam and Eve, before Adam and Eve, there was just Adam. Which is true unity and true oneness. And God's trying to release some garden experience with us where we'll actually have enough unity to be one. One new man. He used that experience to break my bad theology about women. So I'm on the same, I'm doing the same thing that you're doing. I'm being changed in my thinking. I'm saying, okay, God, why do I see this and go lack? How come God says do a conference. First thing I say, we can't do it. Everybody else agrees. We can't do it. Too many.
Then Ron stands up for everybody and says, we're doing it.
Well, we're doing it. I'm done. Preach that some other time. Did you get anything out of this today? Quit running from the area that you have lack in. If you see that you lack something, you need to go to God and say, okay, how do I pull that from you? How do I pull from Zoe? How do I pull that out of the atmosphere? How do I pull that out of heaven? He may give you instructions that just blow you away. Go repent to your wife. Huh? I would rather deal with a demon than a bad theology. You just cast a demon out. You have to wrestle stupid theology. And you have to get in front of God and get the right picture and the right image and consistently work at it to change your thinking. Am I good?
Yeah.
Stand to your feet. How many are mature enough to say, God, I want you to show me where I lack? Say that. And teach me how to pull the antidote, which is abundance, to cancel all areas of lack. Emotionally, spiritually, and naturally. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net. where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You can also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read the Bible, take notes, connect with us on social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into Identity Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Have a blessed day.